Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode was recorded at Spotify Studios, LA. Hey, y'all, and welcome to Trials to Triumphs. I'm Ashley Blaine Featherston Jenkins, but you can call me ABFJ. This week, actress Karen Pittman talks to me about aligning yourself with abundance and claiming what's yours. When our dreams take a little longer than we imagined, or we get passed over for an opportunity, sometimes we can fall into the trap of scarcity. But Karen reminded me that the world we live in is all about abundance. What's yours will always be yours.
If it's meant to be yours, nothing's going to get in the way of it. Nothing's going to get in the way of it if it's meant to be yours. And that has come back to me in every single job.
Welcome to the pod, Karen.
Thank you.
Here's the thing. No, okay, so I normally start with the question of how did we meet? So we haven't met in person.
No.
But we're connected on Instagram.
Yes, and I feel like we're Instagram friends, 1,000%. Which is why when I saw you, I was like, hey,
yes.
Hug.
No, you know? I feel like I've known you my whole life. But I just have to say, you know, I have been acting as long as I can remember.
Oh, wow.
And there's like markers in my life of women that I've seen on television that have just given me full body chills and made me be like, they are good and just really give me that urge to just want to be better. Mm. And you have done that for me.
Oh, thank you.
Like watching you on screen, I literally I'm like getting emotional thinking about it. I remember seeing you on the morning show on the first season being like, this woman is on another level.
Oh.
Like she's doing something different. Like, is anybody else seeing what I'm seeing? Like, clearly people see it, but it just, I am so taken with your effortlessness, but also your beauty.
Oh.
You're so beautiful.
Thank you.
On and off screen. Oh. And truly a deep source of inspiration for me. So I'm so grateful that you said yes and that you're sitting down with me today.
Well, I will take all that bouquet of flowers and put it right here, very close to my heart. For me, it's very important to not just be a good artist or be a good actor, but be a good human. And I really do hope that people feel the good, positive energy that I have about acting and about how important it is to reflect back to humanity, who we are in the highest form, in my highest self.
Yeah.
Just the energy of that is really, really important to me. And I mean, you can't see it in all the characters that are created that reflect Black women, right, in our industry. There are lots of nuances to work through as an actor, but it's good to hear that because I work very hard. I work so hard.
I can tell.
And the great part about certainly being a Black actress in Hollywood is that we really do lift each other up. Like, because there's just like maybe 6.5 of us out here. Do you know what I mean? Or it feels like.
Yeah.
I mean, there are many, many more. But when you do meet an actress who is doing well, and they say, you know, you're an inspiration to me, I'm like, oh God, because my little nose is to the grindstone trying to make it work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about anything else but trout, drink your water, learn your lines. Do you know what I mean? And just the work, the everyday work of being an actor. Yeah. So when someone says, lift your head up, I see you. It's so meaningful. So I thank you.
Lift your head up. I see you. That's beautiful. All right. So let's start at the beginning. So you were born in Mississippi.
That's right.
And raised in Nashville.
That's right.
So let me ask you quickly, when did you move from Mississippi to Nashville?
It was the mid-70s or late mid-70s. I don't remember. I wasn't.
You were young.
Yes, I was very young. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So what would you say Nashville gave you?
Nashville gave me craftsmanship. Mm. It gave me mastery. You know, in Nashville, the community, the culture supports musicians and songwriters, but not for the fame of it, for how you touch people, how you connect to people. Mm-hmm. That's very true in the Black community. As you know, country music has its origins in really in Black culture. Mm-hmm. And in order to be a really good country musician or songwriter, you have to tell a great story. Mm. Can't just be any, you know, it's the gambler. You gotta know when to hold. You know, and that kind of ingenuity or cleverness when it comes to songwriting. Yeah. And so so that's what Nashville gave me. It also gave me a real appreciation for nature. And Nashville is in a valley. So it goes slopes down in Memphis, but you come from the hills in Knoxville. So it's in a valley. And so it's lush and green for most of the year. Only a couple of months out of the year is it really cold and frigid and brown. But for most of the year, it's lush and beautiful. Yeah. And it just gave me a real appreciation for nature. It gave me my childhood with my siblings in so many ways, because we would play in the backyard. And it gave me the best memories of my parents in Nashville.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because I love the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Okay, looking back, what would you say are some of the greatest lessons your parents imparted upon you that you still carry with you today?
Well, there are so many gifts that my parents gave me. But most of the gifts that they gave me, and the most important ones, were in their dying, was in their death. And I think a lot of people look at the experience of losing a parent or the grief that follows it with a great deal of sadness and pain. But as an artist and as an actor who understands humanity and human behavior in a kind of unique way, when my parents passed, I had to transition. There was just so much pain and sadness. I had to find where the gifts were in it. Mm. And the biggest gift of my father's passing, I think, was he was such an advocate for me that a real darkness fell upon me for several years after that. And after the darkness cleared, I found myself in a really interesting, completely different place. And I had, during that period, my daughter. And she, and that experience of being, you know, trying to make my way through the grief, she was the light for me that pulled me out of it. And so a lot of ways, it was kind of a reverse teaching. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like the grief was so dark, And in my mother's passing, I, at that point, felt like I was very on my own, like by myself. Mm. And I learned that just before my mother died, she was not, you know, her doctors came and told us she's not letting go. We don't think she's going to let go. And you guys need to let her know that it's okay. Mm. And so I had to have the conversation with my mother that was like, it's okay. I said, I can be my own. Mm. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I can be my own best mother. I can be my own best father. It's okay. You know, you can let go. And yeah. And I didn't mean it, but I wanted her.
You know? Yeah.
I wanted her to feel like she could go ahead and let go. And then the year or two after that, I sought to make myself, to heal myself by becoming, actually, the mother I always wanted and the father I always wanted. It made me a better mother to my children, to be a better mother to myself. Mm. And I think that that was the most enormous gift that I had in her passing, was that I really invested in raising myself up. And she raised me a really, like, 90% there, mm-hmm. you know? But that last 10%, that as a young woman, I was not there yet. It mattered, and I needed it. I needed it. So, yeah, those were the two biggest important things that I learned from my parents. They were extraordinary, extraordinary parents. I was just talking to somebody the other day about how lucky I was to have my parents. They were crazy.
Yeah.
Everybody's parents are crazy, but I'm glad I had the crazy that my parents had versus the crazy that maybe somebody else's.
Yeah. What's something about you as a mother that is most similar to your mother, how she mothered you?
What are something my mother would do?
Like, how are you most similar to your mom in the way that you mother?
My mother could always really tell when someone didn't have integrity. Mm-hmm. She was good at that.
Ooh.
She would look at you and be like, and then she'd turn around and she'd say, that person ain't, don't, you know what I mean? Just stay away from them. Come over here. Okay, thank you so much. You know, it didn't matter if it was the person bagging your groceries. Mm. It wouldn't matter if it was a principal of a school. It wouldn't matter if it was a pastor at the church.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter if it was Uncle Ray Ray. Come on over here. Come on, sit down. Don't go over to Uncle Ray Ray. Come sit next to me. You know, it wouldn't matter. She always knew. She had like a six.
A lot of discernment. She had a lot of discernment.
Absolutely. She was very good. And I'm good at that. I'm good at that. And it helps me in business very much.
Mm. So, and I've heard you talk about this, but I was like, I cannot wait to talk to you about this on my podcast. But so take us back to 2004.
Okay.
You quit your job in finance.
Yeah.
And decided to transition into acting when you were pregnant.
Yeah, I know.
With your daughter?
Son.
With your son.
My son,
okay,
Jacob.
With your son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, when you read it on paper.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, she was in finance and she decided to quit. She wouldn't transition to acting. Oh, but she's about to have a baby. Wow, that seems like a very interesting time.
to decide it.
So I really want to, if we could just go back. We're in a time machine. We're going back 19 years.
Oh, boy.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Who were you then? And how did you make those decisions?
Well, I was a very selfish Karen. I was a very self-centered Karen. I was a woman that had never... Well, I won't say a woman. I'll say I was. As a woman, the only identity I had in the world was as the daughter of my Jack L. Pittman, and I was the newly married wife of Adam Chartoff. And I had entered into this job at a finance company and started making a lot of money and lost track of myself. And so... I decided that I, you know, I wanted to get pregnant. I wanted to have a child. That was something I wanted to do with my life. And, you know, I got pregnant really fast.
Mm.
Like, I decided, oh, I think I'm going to do it. And I was like, yeah, let's try. Let's actually do it. Let's see if we can put it together. And 2 weeks later, I was pregnant.
Wow.
That was how fast that happened.
Wow.
And suddenly, you know, the job that I had, the life that I had been leading up to that point, I recognized was really only on behalf of getting the love and affection of my parents. I was a very obedient child. And if they said, this is what you need to do to have a successful life, I did it. And once I was pregnant, I realized this is really going to change my life in a big way. And I am not happy with the way, with the prescription that my family and my parents had given me as to how to live your life. I was really absent of purpose, absent of motivation. My husband at the time would have to run the bath water for me in the morning and put me in the bath and take me out and get on the subway with me to take me to work. And I really had to change my entire perspective on who I needed to be. And as a young Black woman, I was very obedient and loyal to class and culture. What does it mean to be a successful Black woman? You drive a car. You have an apartment on Fifth Avenue. You look the part. Your hair is straight. Your hair is cute. You know, you're always cute. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? You got the latest jeans. You know, and that isn't actually a fulfilling life, nor is it sustainable. Mm-hmm. If you are only focused on the external manifestation of your purpose in this world, you are lost. You are absolutely lost. That can only come from an internal moral compass, because we're all here to do something very specific. And at that point, I did not know that. I had no idea that my life is a fingerprint. My life is as unique as anyone's. And I'm never going to be here again like this.
Mm.
Never. So at 4.5 months pregnant, I panicked. And I thought, I got to do something. And I was in acting, got an acting coach named Sam Schacht. And I said, Sam, I think maybe I should go back to school for acting. And he was like, yeah, sure. I was like, but I'm pregnant. He's like, try it.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, so where should I apply? He said, come to my school. And at the time, he was the head of the new school in New York City, which is in downtown. And I was like, should I apply someplace else? And he was like, yeah, you should apply to NYU. And he was like, I was like, oh, is that a good school? He was like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'll apply. So I fill out all the application for NYU. I did all that work.
Are you still working in finance doing all this?
No.
Okay.
I've quit by that
time. Okay, you've quit.
That wasn't hard.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And no one at that office thought I should be there.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, she should be
singing
or acting. Or that wasn't hard to figure out. And I actually did not end up applying to the new school. I only applied to NYU grad acting. Only. And at the time, it was the number one grad acting program in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there and I saw Danai Gurira.
Mm.
I saw Eddie Gathegi, because they were students at the time. I think Andre Holland walked down the hallway.
Oh, wow.
I saw Nicole Salter, who's now an incredible actress, but also a wonderful playwright. So many actors that you probably have seen.
Mm-hmm.
I walked down the hallway and I saw them. And I remember Nicole and Danai were somewhere in the corner of the cafeteria. And Nicole looked over and said, well, look at it, or something like. And I was trying so hard to hold it, but my belly was so big. My belly was so big. And I did go in, and I was doing a Susan Laurie Parks monologue. I did Cleopatra from Antony and Cleopatra and Shakespeare. And I was doing my very best monologue. I mean, like the best I'd ever did. And I was nervous. But my son was in my belly, and he was like, but they couldn't see, you know, but he was like, because there was something going on. You know, he knew there was something going on. He was like, what's going on, mama? What are we doing? This feels interesting.
Yeah.
Because the adrenaline was pumping. And I sat up, and Zelda Fitt Chandler was there, and she's Zelda's mentor of mine. I love her to life. And she's, what are you doing? What are you doing? Get up off the floor. What are you here for? And I said, I'm here to be an actor. And she's like, I have students here who can't even keep their boyfriends. How are you going to have a child here? And I said, if you are talking to me, then I should be here. If I'm sitting in here and you know that I did a good job, then I should be here. And you need to give me a chance. And she was sitting next to now my other mentors, Janet Zarish, and Janet was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came back for a callback later on that day. They called me back. Mm. Again, trying to convince me not to do it, but I was there. I was stayed in my purpose.
Wow.
And I left, and I went home to my husband at the time, and he said, you know, Karen, you're probably not going to get in. I said, I know, but I had to try. Mm. And he said, if you do get in, you're probably not going to get any money for it. Not only did I get in, I got all the money I needed to go to school there. It was just so clearly on my path. All that is to say, 45 minutes later, to make a long story longer, if it is on your path, that was the biggest lesson to me.
Mm.
Not getting into grad school, although it did change my ability to access craft.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest lesson for me in that, if it's meant to be yours, nothing's going to get in the way of it. Nothing's going to get in the way of it if it's meant to be yours. And that has come back to me in every single job that I haven't gotten or I have gotten. It's always been, if this is meant to be, and it was so huge for me, which was a big, big turnaround moment for me from having been so miserable and unfocused and sad and unable to figure it out to my life. You know, 3 months after my son was born, I was back in school.
Wow.
In an acting program, the only one I applied to. It was the only one. And it was the number one school in the country at the time.
And you got all the money.
And I got all the money.
But it also is, like you said, it was always... Here's the thing. I talk a lot about this on the pod. It was always going to happen for you.
Yeah.
But it required obedience.
Yes.
You could have Yes.
Obedience to me.
Yes. Yeah. You could have ignored it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, most of us do.
That's right.
Most of us ignore.
But why do you think?
Because it's scary.
Yep, fear.
It's
fear.
Scary.
100% fear.
I got chills just hearing you transporting us back to 2004. Even I started getting the feels of you being 4.5 months pregnant with your son, your first child, in this audition for the biggest acting program in the country.
Yeah.
And these people, you know, these people of the program saying you shouldn't do this. You have a husband at home who's like, that's scary.
Yeah. But let me say this. This is my whole life. I'm a risk taker. My whole life has been, you're not going to make it. You're not going to get it. No one's going to say yes.
Mm.
You're not going to get a yes. And so the other thing I want to say is that it doesn't, I think what's really important is to know is that this doesn't make me special. Anybody can do it. Anybody. Just have to tap into what it is you really want. And I think some people want you to think that because I'm here, I'm special. But the secret is that everybody's special.
Yeah.
Everybody's special. I heard Tracy Ellis Ross say one time, there's enough sun for everyone. And that's, you may not think that could be true, but it actually is really true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
That makes me think about my dad has always said, like, if ever I'm down,
yeah,
he's always like, rub some sunshine on your face.
Because
It's available to all of us.
I love that.
Yeah, he's always like, just rub some sunshine on your face.
I love that.
And it's true. So whenever I'm literally, if ever I'm just feeling a little, and I mean, it is like the vitamin D and whatever, you know, but it is true. Sometimes I'll just
go outside
and go like this, and I feel so much better.
That's so great. I love this conversation. It's making me so emotional. You
know.
Are such a special person.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me on this show.
I'm so happy you're here, ditto.
Oh, my God.
I'm so happy you're
We're
here.
We're in church right now.
It's the best.
I'm having a spiritual moment.
It's the best.
Okay.
It's the best.
Get it together. We're back.
Okay, so I want to know. So we're pregnant with Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
We have him. Oh. We're in acting school.
Yeah.
But before we get to, like, how you continued on, talk to me about how motherhood, the first go-around, really changed you.
Well, I had something to live for, something to strive for. You know, I come from a long line of manifestors. My parents were raised during Jim Crow.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have education, and they didn't have anybody telling them they were first in their family to go to college.
Mm.
So all of what my parents created in their lives for themselves and for us was out of their imagination.
Yeah.
Was the creativity of their spirit telling them to go in this direction. And so I had a great example of my parents to follow that, and Jacob sparked that for me. His presence in my life sparked it for me. And my son... I learned very quickly that my son was not given to me, but he was given to the world. And so I have a little, I know, right? And he wasn't given to me. He was given to the world. So I have a little bit of time to walk along this journey with him. And then he flies off on his own, just out of the mama nest. So I realized that I was going to teach him, and he was going to teach me.
Mm.
And my son is another reincarnation of the Buddha. I say this all the time to him, but he is so smart. He's so, you know, he's always been this kind of kid who, if I'm pushing him in a stroller and a kid goes by and he falls down, he'll sit up in the stroller and say, "Are you okay?"
Aww.
Like, he's that kid. And he's been that way since very early on. And so he's taught me a lot about... my son has taught me a lot about compassion, kindness, take it easy, not that big of a deal.
Mm.
Everything's going to be okay. He's taught me about manifesting powers.
Ooh.
Yeah. And just from birth, just from being in my belly too, I realized that, you know, part of the experience of having a wall to push up against is that once you get over it, it builds even more confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So he helped me to see that a wall doesn't mean you stop. It means that you have to get creative and strategize and think another way to get over it and then go to the next wall. You're going to hit the next wall. And so he really, as a mother, he taught me that. He sparked my creativity. A lot of what I use as a mother, I use as an actor. Constantly saying yes, constantly, "Hey, what you doing? Come on, let's have a good time." Do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of my characters that you'll see are very much like, "Game, let's go, let's sit."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the way that their bodies do it,
mm-hmm.
very much relevant in Nia Wallace. Nia is very much of a...
Yeah.
Yeah, she's that kind of a person, where Mia's more like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But... yeah, he taught me a lot about that, and he gave me my actor body, because as a child, he was so, because boys and men, they're so physical.
Yeah.
He helped me to figure out how to behave
mm.
in a body in a very childlike way. In our earliest years, we are in our bodies in a way that we are never in them once we go through puberty and get older and have children.
Once the world gets to us.
Once the world gets to us. So he changed me in many, many ways.
What about your daughter?
My daughter, Lena Marie, slowed me down. Mm. And I needed to. I was moving too fast.
How many years apart are they?
5.
Okay.
I had Lena a year and a half out of grad school, and I'd only known her dad for 5 months when I found out I was pregnant with her.
Wow.
So it was a relationship that was struggling. We weren't a couple when I found out I was pregnant with her. And we came back together just to support her in her birth and bring her into the world. And we couldn't stay together. Mm-hmm. So we went our separate ways. And Lena now has a stepmother, and she has a brother from that relationship. And the hardest thing for me to do was to let her go into that relationship that he had, right?
Yeah.
But I love Lena fiercely. She is an extraordinary human. I would never have met someone like Lena if I had not birthed her. Never. Because she is so different from me. So different. And I want her to have everything, the very best. She's taught me what unconditional love looks like. Mm. Not because she loves me unconditionally, but I have to let her extraordinary light out into the world. And the more love she gets, the brighter she shines, the bigger she expands. Whenever I'm running around doing things, you know, she's always like, Mama, I miss you. You need to come home. And I come straight home, you know. And that's important to me. My children are my, in them is my home. I live in L.A., I live in New York, but in Lena and Jacob, that is my home. So when they are with me, I feel at home. Mm. When they're away from me, I'm like, out, you know, which is it's a distinct difference from what my life is like before I had children.
What was it like before you had children?
It was just about me.
Yeah.
I was so centered on myself. So yeah, motherhood has been just incredible for me as a human being to grow me up.
To grow you up.
It grew me up.
Yeah.
It grew me up.
That's what it does. I mean, you're different. How could you not be?
Well, so, and some women don't need to have children to grow up.
No.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did. And I wanted to grow up that way.
Mm.
I really did.
I just love motherhood. Yeah. I just think it's amazing. I'm like.
Well, you'll have it.
Yeah.
If you want it.
I do.
Yeah.
That's the prayer.
Yeah.
I want to grow. I want it to grow me up, too.
Yeah.
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 Okay. So tell me when. So you're in grad school.
Yeah.
We have Jacob. Yeah. We're still married.
Yeah.
When was the moment? What was the moment, rather, where you were like, this acting thing is working for me. Like, I'm making a living doing this now. When did that happen? When did that transition happen?
Well, that didn't happen until 2014.
So
that
10 years later.
10 years later. 10 years later.
Okay.
10 years later.
Take us there.
I did a Broadway play called Disgraced. That was when I was like, oh. This is working.
Mm.
And I got my first, like, real, like, review. Like, you good. That kind of review. And it came from Hilton Owls, who is an extraordinary writer. And say so myself. He's an extraordinary critic. I cracked myself up. Anyway, so I got a review and I thought, oh, a good. Because part of the reason why I went to grad school in the first place, I mean, you want to be an actor, you just go act.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to be good.
Yes.
I wanted to have the respect of my peers in the industry for my efforts. I didn't want to go into it and like make a lot of money. I wanted to go in it and make history. I wanted to leave a legacy in this industry. I am an artist, and this is what I do. And I did it to the best of my ability, and it moved people. It inspired people. It taught them something. It reflected back something. I love to make money, and I love to make good money. But for me, it's really about it's about what I leave behind.
Yes.
When my energy goes to and transitions to another place, so I want that energy to stay here in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. So, but in 2014, when I started working on the Broadway, I had done the play off Broadway, and the playwright said to me, "You're the only actor I'm going to take to the Broadway stage." Mm. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. I'm so grateful. He was like, no, this play needs you. And I was like, okay. And it still hadn't seeped in. You know, it didn't seep in that I was there yet. And, but no, it took me 10 years from the time I started grad school to feel like I'm going to be successful and I'm going to do this for a living.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said earlier, you were like, you know, part of your life has kind of been like having to prove people wrong. Like, no, I can do this.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Were your experiences in joining the morning show or in just like that, in any way, shape, or form like that? Like, what was your I'm always curious about, like, the process of getting these big jobs that, like, really change things for us as actors. What were those experiences like for you?
Well, I think what I distinctly remember about coming on the morning show was everyone was like, she's a great actor. Mm-hmm. She's really great. We're so excited you're here. But I had a very specific take on Mia that I hadn't really explored in the audition experience. So when I came on set and I started exploring Mia, I could see the producers like, wow, we weren't expecting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She's quite good. And and I think that was, I don't know if that had to do with we weren't expecting her to be that good or like that's not the take we were expecting on this character. Mm-hmm. Let's write something juicy for her. Like, mm-hmm. this is exciting. So that was part of the experience. I don't think that I came into the morning show knowing how Hollywood works. A Hollywood ensemble is different from a Broadway ensemble.
Very much so.
And so yes. I really had to understand the politics of, no, Karen, this is your role. This is your responsibility. This is what you're going to do. I'm always interested in how the audience responds to it because they're always like, no, we want to see more. I'm like, there are so many extraordinary actors in this ensemble. Mm-hmm. You're going to get what you're going to get, what the producers say you're going to get, what the writers can write and bring us all together and tell the weave in the best story.
Yes.
So that was new for me. And coming to the morning show and on just like that, I mean, along with a number of things happened on the morning show. I mean, we went through the pandemic together as an ensemble and as a crew. Mm-hmm. That in and of itself was, I can't even believe we pulled that off.
We did the final season of my show, Dear White People, in the pandemic, and it was
wild. We didn't have no vaccine.
Yeah.
We was over there talking about, go when you get to set, go straight back home, and then don't see nobody.
Don't see anybody. Yeah.
And stay inside your house all weekend. I mean, you can walk outside your house, but please wipe down your mail. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Like, so that was an incredible experience for me, bonding up experience on that show. And I think we're in just like that. What was the question about again?
Like, I guess what I'm asking is, like, even in maybe the offer process or the audition process of even getting the role, what did it feel like? Did it ever feel like maybe this won't work out for me, but you hoped that it would?
Now, okay, well, see, this goes back to this thing of this big, huge, what they call in Miles Morales's metaverse, a core memory or core moment for a character, right? It doesn't matter which universe you go in and you meet Miles. There are certain things that must happen that are core to this character.
Yes.
And it happens in every universe. So in my universe, that was Jacob getting into grad school and getting all that money and becoming an actor. So that was a core, that's core to me now. So mm-hmm. it doesn't matter for me. When I walk into a job, if I get it, I know it was meant to be mine. Mm-hmm. If I don't walk into a job, walk in and it's not mine, it goes to Divine or it goes to Simone Missick or it goes to, you know, it wasn't meant to be mine. Mm-hmm. And so I'm okay with that now. Mm-hmm. So I never walk into a job thinking, I don't do that.
Yes. That's...
Because I learned that.
Mm. And I also feel like it's the only way that you can survive this business.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you have to get
But let's
that.
Go further than that. It's the only way you can survive life. If you go through life thinking yeah. that, I didn't get that, and I missed that, and that should have been... What kind of... We need a new framework for that, boo.
We do.
We got to frame it differently, boo. You got to look at that differently. That's not the way to move through life. That wasn't meant to be yours. But what is coming to you is coming. Mm-hmm. I don't, as an actor or a businesswoman or as a mother or as a human, live in the world of scarcity. I don't live in the world of lack. Mm-hmm. And I'm radical about that. Like, I'm militant about it. I'm religious about it. I'm whatever. It's just, I don't align myself with that at all. It is against my spirit. This world is about abundance. Yes. And if you are looking at someone else or something else, or you didn't get, and thinking, oh, I should have had that. That's feeding into scarcity and lack. And what is, the prayer is, God, bring to me what's mine.
Yes.
And by the way, bring it now. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, yes.
You can, I ask for now, urgency. It's urgent. My prayer is now. Mm-hmm. You know, I do that, but I don't think, Nicole Beharie got this. That means I'm losing out. Mm-hmm. No. Nicole got it. Look, you go get that, girl.
You go, girl.
Someone says, if someone near you gets something good, then God is in the neighborhood. Have you heard that?
Yes. It means you're in the right place.
You're in the right place.
You're in good company.
That's right. That's why I was so excited to see Nicole's name right next to mine when we got nominated for that award.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we're in the right neighborhood.
Yes.
We're in the right neighborhood.
Yeah. Karen, what has been your takeaway from our conversation today?
Is it over?
Yeah, we did it.
My takeaway, well, first of all, you're extraordinary.
Thank you.
To talk about some of the things that I've talked about. I don't usually talk about these things. My takeaway, I think with a certain level of notoriety, you're reminded of the responsibility of representing this. When I think of myself, I don't think of the skin that I'm poured into. Mm-hmm. But when people see me, that is the first thing they encounter. So as a spirit that was poured into this beautiful Black woman's body, I have to, sometimes I wrestle with it. And so my takeaway from this is that it's more important to be aligned and loyal and committed to who you are. Mm-hmm. Even though my experience of it has been that I'm supposed to be aligned with what it means to be a Black woman, what I feel from this conversation, having gone way back in my sense memory of who I am, that it really is still the most important thing about my work and about showing up in my career is staying connected to the human that I have become, I've grown into.
Yeah.
Because we do, this mortal coil, Shakespeare says, this mortal coil, we leave it.
We do.
We leave it. And so... That's my takeaway. What's your takeaway?
My takeaway is actually what we were just talking about, that I'm in good company.
Yeah.
That, you know, you are a woman who I've been so deeply inspired by and taken by. And I get to sit with you and talk about our lives and learn and share and grow with you in real time. Yeah. And I'm really grateful that God had this moment reserved for me, for us.
Yeah.
So that's my takeaway.
This was a big God moment.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, and I also had this really, the whole time we've been sitting here talking, I've been having this, like, knowing that we're going to be reunited in a way that we're going to look back and say, can you believe we were sitting on the podcast talking and now look at us? Like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But I this whole time I've been having this feeling.
I feel that knowing.
Yeah.
I do feel it. It's more than just a belief. It's a knowing.
Yes, it's a knowing.
It's a knowing.
So I'm just, I have a gratitude that I'm going to carry with me for a very, very, very long time.
I'm so glad. I wasn't expecting to have this much fun today.
I know.
This was so fun.
This was the best.
This was so fun.
It's always so great when you have like synergy with people.
Yes, and who knew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did it.
We did
it. Thank you, sis.
Thank you.
I honor you so much. I'm so grateful you said yes.
Oh,
thank you.
I'm honoring you. This is amazing.
Yay. We did it. This is great.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is produced by LWC Studios for OWN. The show's executive producer is Juleka Lantigua. Our managing producer is Fatima Elswifi. Shanice Tindall is our lead producer. Associate producer is Mona Hassan. Jordan Thompson is our marketing coordinator. This episode was mixed by Trin Lightburn. Michelle Baker is our video editor. This episode was recorded at Spotify Studios, LA. Promotional consideration, products and services furnished by Spotify. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, and we hope you did, please make sure to subscribe, leave a rating, and review wherever you listen to your podcast to ensure you hear the next one.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.